This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Welcome to our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois.
And our topic is the impact of metabolizable protein in early lactation cows. This research was conducted at the Mitre Institute under the leadership of Drs. Rick Grant and Sarah Morris and was published in the December 2021 Journal of Dairy Science. And here's what they did. They looked at three different diets in early lactation. First was the higher protein, 17% crude, or for our listeners, that turned out using a model, 11.4% metabolizable protein. They then had a step down or another ration at 16.2% crude protein. That would be about 10.7% metabolizable protein. And then the lower protein diet at 15.3% crude protein, and that was at 10.1% crude protein. They then used 100 multiparous cows, cows with second or greater lactations, and they looked at a couple different strategies. In the first 3 weeks, they looked at either the high or the low protein diet, and then at weeks 4 to 13, they varied different combinations to see how cows would respond, what changes would occur in milk production, dry matter intakes, and performance on these cows. And it's pretty interesting. And we looked at the first 3 weeks, we fed the lowest protein level, which was right around the 10.7%. That meant that ration was about 27% deficient. And in fact, Bill, even the higher protein, 11.4, was slightly deficient as well based on cow requirements. Milk production, energy-corrected milk. When we looked at the diet, we saw the high-protein diet supported 123 pounds of milk, where the low-protein diet supported 115 pounds of milk in the first 3 weeks. Interesting and perhaps surprising to me, there was no difference in dry matter intake during this 13-week period, regardless of the protein level, and that was right around 60 pounds of dry matter these cows were consuming. No effects on metabolic disorders or diseases as well. But, of course, there was higher protein losses from the body when we were feeding the lower protein diets. We looked also then when we went over the 13-week time period and when we fed the high protein and going to intermediate level of protein, 10.7, these cows averaged 117 pounds of milk. If you went to the high protein and then switched them to the low protein diet at week 4, they dropped down to 112 pounds of milk. So obviously there was about a 5.5 pound difference in milk production by not feeding the high protein diet. They did not run the high protein diet all 13 weeks. That might have been interesting to see if we could have even seen more milk from these cows. So our take-home messages are fairly interesting here, Bill. First of all, we know that now that metabolizable protein is pretty important in early lactation because it will impact milk yields in the first 13 weeks especially. We also saw that if we are slightly protein deficient, these cows will mobilize body reserves. And, of course, that reflects something that has to be replaced later in lactation as well. And, of course, the milk urea nitrogens really tracked very well with the level of metabolizable or crude protein in the diet, meaning higher levels of protein meant there was higher MUN numbers. The good news is there was no impact on dry matter intake or animal health here, but certainly our farmers and our listeners need to be using a modeling program really to determine the metabolizable protein levels required by high-producing cows in early lactation. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, who is featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday. The big news this week, the Canadian dairy tariff rate quotas led to a recent decision by a USMCA dispute settlement panel, as we hear from USDA Radio's Rod Bain.
The issue was Canada's application of tariff rate quotas on U.S. dairy products.
There were 14 different tariff rate quotas, which are agreements by Canada to allow certain volumes of types of dairy products, milk, cream, skim milk powder, butter, etc., into Canada up to a certain level.
Tom Vilsack explains the hope that there would be more market opportunity for our nation's dairy products in Canada. However, a U.S. Trade Representative's Office press release explained that Canada set aside and reserved a percentage of the quota for processors and for so-called further processors. The first of its kind panel ruled that Canada's set aside percentage for dairy TRQs was inconsistent with its USMCA commitments. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Rod. For archived programs, head to dairyradio.com. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.